Anchored in Jesus Ministries is sponsoring a trip to see Jesus, a musical stage adventure at Sight and Sound Theater. This will be a one-day trip, July 27th, 2018. The proceeds will benefit Anchored in Jesus Ministries. For more information, go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org. Again, www.anchoredinjesus.org.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series titled In the Desert with the Father. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Desert of Unfulfilled Dreams.
And today we want to look at unfulfilled dreams. Sometimes you might have had a dream, or maybe you felt the Lord laid something on your heart to do. And as you went through life, it seemed like that the vision, that dream, just died somewhere along the way. And so we want to talk about, you know, revitalizing dreams. And, you know, when you think about, somebody might say, well, you know, this is kind of for the young people. No, this is for everyone, because we should never stop dreaming. You know, for some of us, you know, the dream might be just having enough energy to put our clothes on and make it to church. You know, that might be the goal. That might be the dream. But, you know, we should never stop dreaming. And so in the midst of your dreams, you may find yourself in the desert sometimes. You know, we've been talking about in the desert and, you know, these desert experiences that we have, and that we can be assured of the fact that God is with us as we go through the desert. This morning, we're going to be looking at Joseph in the Bible. And let me just share with you some interesting facts about Joseph. You know, we could, you know, get into reading some scripture, but let's just look at some interesting facts about Joseph. First of all, his name means God adds. So when he was born, his family named him God adds, and that had significance in his name. So whether it means that God would add to his character or God added to the family, you know, that's what his name means. He was the 11th son of Jacob, and he was the oldest of the two sons of Rachel. So he was, as it said here a little bit later, not only was he the 11th son of Jacob, but he was also the favorite son of Jacob. So that's why Jacob's heart was broken when he thought that Joseph had been killed. We see that we are introduced to Joseph when he was 17 years old. And he was a shepherd. And so this lets us know that God touched him when he was a teenager. Wow. Wow. God touched Joseph when he was a teenager. We know that one of the things that he was most famous for was this coat that he had. And it was a coat of many colors. I remember when I was in high school, my brother might remember this. You're already laughing, man. You're already laughing. That was back when the maxi coats was in, right? I had a long maxi, and it was plaid, and I used to get sharp in that thing. And so somebody said, man, you got a coat of many colors. You remember that coat, huh? I used to style back in the day, styling and profiling. All right. But Joseph had a coat of many colors. And Joseph was a good administrator. You know, he was able to handle the affairs and the business of the community, of the country, in a powerful way. And one thing about Joseph, and it says this, you know, more than once, that he was a handsome man, that Joseph was handsome. And so we look at this background that we see about Joseph. But the thing that we want to look at this morning is that Joseph had a God-sized dream. He had a God-sized dream. Look at Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. Beginning in verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told it to his brethren. And they hated him yet more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves. So they, you know, they were wrapping up the crop in the field. So they were putting it in the sheave, binding the sheave. And lo, my sheave arose. So he said that his bundle came up and stood upright. And your sheaves, he tells his other brothers, stood around about and obeisance, did obeisance. That means that they fell down to his sheaf. So we see that it says here that his brothers hated him because of the dream. In verse 8, and his brothers said unto him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. See, when you have a dream, there's going to be haters. And the haters are going to arise. And they're going to try to throw water on your dreams. And yet and still, it's interesting that not only did God give him that first dream, but God gave him a second dream. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. So now he goes beyond just his brothers. He said, the sun and the moon. So that meant his dad and his mom, that they are going to bow. And his dad, and he told it in verse 10, he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his dad said, now look here, son. Now, you know, you already angered your brothers. You probably shouldn't have said what you said to your brothers. But now you're saying that me and your mom are going to bow down to? Have you lost your natural born mind? His father, the Bible says, rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And so his dad chastises him for his dream. But Joseph had a God-sized dream. And so I'm talking to somebody this morning. God is asking you to have a God-sized dream. What is a God-sized dream? A God-sized dream is a clear image of a future reality. That what's in your spirit. And saints, I'm here to say that you should never, ever, ever stop dreaming. You should always have a dream, something to pursue, some goal to try to reach. That even Caleb, when he was 85 years old, he said unto Joshua, I want that mountain. Give me that mountain. At 85 years old. At over 100 years old, Moses led the people into the promised land. Or he led them up to the promised land. He didn't get in. But he had a clear image of a future reality. Joseph had a big-sized dream. And notice there's certain characteristics of a big-sized dream. It's from God. It's a dream that's from God. We should seek to ask God to show us what it is that he would have us to do and to dream big for him. You know, I just want to say that there's been many dreams that have started and along the way they have fizzled out And some of them have died because they weren't from God. Make sure you get one that's from God. I'm talking to some young people in here today. Get a vision. Get a dream for yourself. And pursue that dream. And become all that God would have you to be. This dream is bigger than you think. Joseph would have never thought anything like this. You know, again, look how offended his brothers were. Look how offended his dad was. He would have never thought of this on his own. But he got a dream. He caught a vision, a dream from God. And it was bigger than he thought. It's harder than you think. See, sometimes we want to calculate and we want to measure and we want to figure out. And sometimes we need to realize that this is something that goes on to the fact that unless God does it, it's not going to happen. Unless God does it, it's not going to happen. And then realize your dream will be impossible without faith. That sometimes, and we're going to see this morning, you'll have a dream, and that dream will go to a place where you think it's over, but you got to hold on by faith and keep on holding on. And this dream is for the glory of God. If there's a young person here today says that I'm getting ready to get in trouble. But what do we teach young people? We teach them, go to college so that you can get a good job, so that you can earn a nice living, and so that you can live in a nice house and drive a nice car. That's what we tell them. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that, and we need to tell them that, but we need to tell them also that somewhere in this dream, get this dream from God. And then get understanding about how God is going to use this dream in your life. Just don't do it. The problem is we got too many people that's doing things just for self. Yo, you need to get a dream, as we're going to see this morning, that impacts other people, that makes a difference in the lives of other people. You need to get a dream. It might be to go to college, but make sure in your dream that I'm going to use whatever I got. And even if I go out and I can make a nice living and I can do this or that I'm going to use my dream for the glory of God. There was a man who said, I have a dream. He had a dream that his four children would one day live in a nation where they would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And I'll just say this, that we're still working on that dream. We're still working on that dream. But let me say this, we're a lot further along than we were when he said that. And so we thank God for somebody that had a dream. And his dream went out and impacted the lives of other people. His dream went out and impacted a whole nation. And even though he didn't see the fulfillment of that dream, and even though he didn't, that we're living in a time where it is being fulfilled, it's not fulfilled, but it is being fulfilled, he had a dream. Catch a dream. And his dream was from God, and God used him in a powerful way. I like this song, The Impossible Dream. I remember in high school, I think at that time, you know, it was popular. I maybe got popular before that, but I remember it being sung. And so this morning I went back and I thought about this impossible dream. And I said, well, let me look at this song. And I found that this song, now I don't know if it was based on the Bible, but it certainly has biblical implications all through it. To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear the unbearable sorrow, and to run where the brave dare not go. To write, and this is what King did, the unrightable wrong, to be better than you are, to try when your arms are too weary to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow that star. What is the star? Your dream. No matter how hopeless, no matter how far. To fight for the right without question or pause. To be willing to march. Oh, this is biblical right here. This is biblical right here. Into hell for a heavenly cause. That means you're willing to go into the fire of opposition and resistance for a heavenly cause. And I know if I only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will be peaceful and calm. When I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this. That one man, one woman, scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable star. What's your dream today? What's your dream? Yo, would to God, I wish that I could put this in a way and have somebody preach this to all the youth in the schools in the city of Pittsburgh, or even youth in the schools around the country. Because sometimes we're raising a generation of dreamless individuals. And our society hurts when we don't have people who dream the impossible dream. But the sad thing about Joseph is that Joseph experienced the death of his dream. And we're going to see that this morning. His dream died. I remember when I graduated from college, I had two objectives, two dreams in life. And the one dream is that I wanted to teach at a college university. And the other one, I wanted to coach football in college. And so I went to seminary to get my master's degree so that I could teach in college. And before I went, I had called the coach of the football team and let him know my background and let him know that I was coming, and asked him, was there a position for me on the coaching staff? And he just said, sure, come. And when you get here, you know, we'll sit down and talk. And so I remember, you know, traveling all the way across the country, going to Virginia, and I set up a meeting with the coach, and he said to me, he said, there's nothing I can do for you right now. I can't help you right now. And I remember sitting there, and you know, I was thinking, y'all forgive me, because I was less spiritual but I remember, this is not going to be nice, right? I probably shouldn't say this kid sitting here. I said to myself, you know, one day I'm going to have a big banquet, and I'm going to invite all the people that ever did me wrong. And I'm just going to leave it right there. I mean, because my dream had died. My dream died. The thing that I wanted to do, that I felt in my spirit I wanted to do, had died. And so we see that Joseph's dream died. I tried to put this little diagram together. And you can see that Joseph started out with significance. He had purpose. He had a dream. He caught a dream from God. But notice what happened. There was a desert. And in this desert, look at all the things that happened to him. He was sold. He was a stranger. He became a slave. He was sentenced. And he was snubbed. You're talking about somebody that was in the desert. This This, I mean, God told him this. He put his neck on the line to tell his dream to his brothers and his dad. And now his dream dies. Let's look at the death of a dream. We see, first of all, that his brothers hated him so much that he was out in the field and his dad told him to go to his brothers, and when they saw him coming, they concocted a plan where they threw him in a pit. And as he was in the pit, you know, they were trying to figure out what to do. And some Midianites were traveling through the land. And we see that as they traveled through the land, they sold him to the Midianites. And as they sold him to the Midianites, can you imagine what must have happened in Joseph's mind? Wow. I thought that these guys were going to bow down to me. You know, I thought that, you know, hey, I'm out here in the field, you know, watching these sheep. And one day, you know, the king is going to come by. He's going to recognize me. He's going to elevate me. And I'm going to be in a position of authority. But now what? I'm sold to the Midianites. What happened to your dream, man? No longer do you see those aspirations. It's easy to give up and quit. And so he was sold, and not only was he sold, but he became a stranger. Look at verse 28 of Genesis 37. Then there passed by Midianite merchants, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. He became a stranger. He became an alien in a foreign land. Now, wait a minute. I thought my dream was going to take place right here where we were at, and that here my brothers would bow down. My dad and my mom would bow down right here where we're at. And now I'm a stranger. I'm an alien down in Egypt. Wow. Desert. Desert experience. While you're waiting, it seems like forever that this is going to take place. How long, oh Lord, do I have to stay in this desert? You promised me. You told me that I was going to be able to do this. And then we see that he was sold to Potiphar. And he got a little juice with Potiphar. But then Mrs. Potiphar got in the way and accused him of sexual improprieties. And we see what happened to him in 37 in verse 36. And in 37, 36, well, okay, and the Midianites sold him to Egypt under Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's captain. And so he became a slave to Potiphar. And then in 39, in verse 20, 39,
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Desert of Unfulfilled Dreams from our series In the Desert with the Father. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Desert of Unfulfilled Dreams, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Desert of Unfulfilled Dreams. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Desert of Unfulfilled Dreams, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.